Hey guys, this is Aaron from the Land Show. Just to let you know, had some problems on our end this week when we were recording, and the last bit of the show got cut off. So, well, Mitch's recording got cut off somehow. I'm not sure which end that happened on, but it ends after one of the two letters we had this week. So, just to let you know that. Yeah, I had some technical difficulties with this, so we'll try and figure this out for next time. And we'll just end up re-recording the letter. Just to let you know in advance. Sorry about the inconvenience.
To our crazy fans, we wrote this song especially for you. For everything you do, you are the best. Now get undressed. You are the cutest fans by far. You took a risk and bought our disc. You play it loudly in your car. You tell your friends about our band. We're into men, this is what you are.
Hey everybody, and welcome to episode 3 of the Land Show. We've got a pretty big episode. We got a lot of E3 wrap up. We've got, well, really a lot of E3 wrap up. So it's going to be a pretty big game segment.
Some E3, a bit more E3, and then some more E3. How's that sound?
That sounds pretty good. All right. First, let's go ahead and start off. What have you been playing this week?
Today I actually went to the store and bought a bunch of games.
Oh yeah?
Starting with, just because John said so, Super Mario Galaxy, and put a bit of time into that.
What do you mean just because John said so? How about because this is a great fucking game? How about because everyone says so?
Okay, no, but John was starting to bitch at me for not owning the game, so I picked it up, and it turns out it is a badass fucking game that I regret not getting sooner.
So what else did you get?
Assassin's Creed Altair's Chronicles for the DS. And it plays kind of like a cross between the... between the 2D Prince of Persia games and the 3D Assassin's Creed. And I think it works well. It's a full 3D game, but it's an overhead camera view instead of the behind-the-shoulder view. So, and I found it for $20, and I'm loving it.
Oh, yeah.
The next game has been Geometry Wars Galaxy for the Nintendo DS.
You got it for the DS?
Yeah.
Because I hear that that one's quite a bit better than the Wii version.
Yeah,
and I'm really liking it.
Yeah, the Wii version was more expensive too, and I just wanted the game portable. Hell, I'd buy a Microsoft portable system if it promised me I could play Geometry Wars Retro Evolved on it. So yeah. I picked the game up. I put about 20 minutes into it. It's as good as I remember on the 360, just not as many visual effects, but...
How does the movement translate? Because it seems like... I understand, like, the shooting would work... I think the shooting seems like it would work all right with the stylus, but I'm not sure about how the analog stick controls would transfer to the D-pad.
Now, here's one problem I had, is, like, with the analog stick, you could have multiple speeds because of how far you push the analog stick. With the touchpad, you have one speed, and it's between fast and slow. But with a touch screen, it's a lot faster to point and shoot with it than it is with the second analog stick. So it kind of makes up for it. But I only played the Retro Evolved mode. But in the Galaxy mode, which I haven't tried yet, you actually get a drone, which you can program to do different things. So you can it helps make up for it even further. Like, you can have it to shoot in the opposite direction you're shooting, shoot in the same direction so you have twice as many bullets, or just, like, different flying patterns around you.
Yeah, that sounds... I don't know. You said it was 20?
I got it for 20 as well.
Oh.
I got both DS games for $20.
Oh, right on. Yeah, I don't know. I've heard good things, but I don't know. I didn't play enough of the original Geometry Wars to, like, love it. Like, I enjoyed it, but I never actually downloaded the full game, which is, I know, something I need to do.
If you weren't a fan of the first of the original Geometry Wars, you're not going to like this one. It's the same thing, except now it has a more adventure-like mode as well, but...
Mm-hmm. I don't think it's that I didn't like it. It's just that I never got the full version, so I don't know. Maybe I'll have to give it another chance.
If you have a 360, buy the 360 version first. If you like that, then maybe the DS version, but... The 360 version's still better and cheaper. It just doesn't have the whole adventure-like mode in it.
Right.
That, so. And I've been playing a bit of Super Smash Bros. Brawl, or at least I tried to.
Oh, yeah. I hear it was pretty laggy tonight.
Yeah, I never got to play, so. It was fun.
Yeah.
Five people with on a four-player game, so... I don't blame DJ Incompetent or Boric for it, so I still love you guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you one thing I haven't been playing this week is any 360 games, because I actually sat down to pick up Lost Odyssey again after having not played it for about a month or two. After only, right as I was about to get to the end of a 15 to 20 minute fight, my 360 started locking up, so I took the disc out and I put it back in, and every time, right on the initial loading screen, it would lock up again, and that kept happening. I unplugged everything until finally it red ringed, and now I'm going to be onto my fourth system, and at this point I'm not really even that angry. I'm just kind of I'm just used to it. Not that I'm used to it dying, but I'm used to the process, and
it's just fun. The 360 was just a poorly designed system.
Yeah, I mean, I'm hoping that I get one of the upgraded systems back, and not just my refurbished unit, because I'm hoping that other than just more heat sinks, I get an HDMI port, which that would be welcomed.
Yeah, well, when I got my system back, I got a refurb unit from someone else, but mine didn't have the upgraded heat sinks in it, so...
Oh, no.
I'm expecting mine to die eventually, but I'm still only on my second console, which I'm lucky.
Well, I mean, that's the shitty thing, is that it's almost a given that everyone's console is gonna die eventually.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah, And I was really looking forward to playing some more Lost Odyssey.
Speaking of Lost Odyssey, that's one of the games I traded in for the stash games I brought in.
Oh, really? Did you at least beat it?
I wasn't able to beat it.
Ugh.
I did see the ending, though.
I
was almost finished with the game. It's just one part of the game I couldn't get past. I was very close to the end. It's not that I just gave up on, like, disc one. I was on disc four.
I guess. But I've been playing that. The other night I had some friends come over and we played some Boom Blocks, which I had never played. And God, it really is, like everyone says, it's great. And I didn't even get to play it for that long, but what I did get to play, I absolutely loved. It was just this weird, almost pure sense of fun, which doesn't make sense. But that and of course they brought over Rock Band, which, I mean, it's Rock Band. We downloaded Hysteria by Muse, and that is one of the most one of the songs that I found most fun to play in the game altogether.
Sweet.
It's great. But not much more than that. I was gonna get back into Phoenix Wright 2, whichever, Justice for All, I think. I didn't end up getting around to that though. I just don't have the patience to sit down and play one of those for a long period of time.
Yeah, I can understand.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons I did trade in Lost Odyssey is because I was 30 hours in on the fourth disc, but then, this isn't really a spoiler or anything, but there's one point in the game where you have to save one of the kingdoms from these sea monsters, and they're moving in real time towards the city, but you still have to take them out one by one in a turn-based battle, so...
Bummer.
That's what pushed me off the edge and I had to sell in the game. It wasn't the RPG elements at all, it's just the some of the poor choices for minigames they've put in.
Mm-hmm.
The rest of the game was amazing. I recommend it to anyone. And if you can get past that part, good on you.
Absolutely. I mean, and even that doesn't sound terrible just because, like, maybe it's just... There are a lot of things that could have led to me loving that game so much. But, I mean, I just thought the combat system was fantastic. The story was great.
I love
voice
the ring
acting.
System.
Yeah, the ring system is... I really enjoy that, but, like... The graphics in this are just stunning. I mean, they use these great depth of field techniques that you're just starting to see video games use, and it brings just this sense of, like, a film to it, and it's really just, I can't say enough good things about it.
By all accounts, a beautiful game, and I loved it. It just got to a point where it was straining my relationship with it, but not because of the game itself. It's just some of the questionable design choices.
Mm-hmm. But
I fully recommend the game to anyone who can find it.
Mm-hmm. And I should say though that one of the reasons that I do love it so much could be because this is gonna sound just terrible, but it's. It was my first actual console turn-based Japanese RPG, not counting strategy RPGs.
I'm actually in the same boat there.
Yeah, well, I mean, it wasn't my first, but it was the first one that I put significant time into.
It was
because before
it was the first
I just
one
didn't.
I owned, personally.
Oh yeah, yeah. I just before I didn't really have much of the patience, or I mean, one of the things is that. I didn't have an NES or SNES growing up. I started with the Genesis, then I had a N64, and I mean, there were some RPGs on both systems. I mean, the Phantasy Star games would be some of the, you know, biggest offenders for me not having it played, but I mean, I moved from that to the GameCube. And I didn't get a PlayStation 2 until just last year, so I've really been on a lot of the non-RPG systems for most of my gaming life. But, yeah, Lost Odyssey, great stuff.
Yeah, well, I didn't start gaming until 1999.
Jeez, wow. But, anyway, we've got a lot of news, so let's go ahead and move on to that.
Yes.
Of course, this week was E3, the big, almost holiday-like event, yearly event for gamers. I mean, everyone listening to this is going to know what E3 is. But, I mean, some huge announcements coming out of this. Probably one of the largest is Final Fantasy XIII come to 360 in U.S. and Europe.
And not in Japan, though. Japan, it's still a PS3 exclusive.
Right, which is why I said US and Europe.
But Final Fantasy XIII Versus is still a PS3 exclusive in all regions.
Right. But I mean, yeah, it's big.
It's huge
for Microsoft.
One less reason for me to buy a PS3. I don't care how many discs it takes, but put Metal Gear Solid 4 on the 360. Save me a reason for buying a PS3. Please, Kojima, listen to me.
Yeah, but I mean, I hadn't really seen that much coverage of Final Fantasy XIII before. I had never really gone out of my way, and this was actually the first real trailer I'd seen, and, you know, looks good. I mean, they didn't really show any gameplay or really that much story. It was just, you know, a lot of quick cuts.
From all accounts, it's the same trailer that was shown on the PS3 2 years ago at, I believe, TGS.
I don't think it was the same trailer. There was a lot of new stuff added, but it had some similar elements, yeah. But, I mean, yeah, it looks good. I'll need to see more, to be sure, but, I mean, yeah, and Final Fantasy.
Yeah.
So, more Microsoft. One of their other big announcements was this fall they're going to be completely overhauling the... system dashboard, and I gotta say, I don't think it's ugly or unwieldy looking. I just don't think it looks as user-friendly as the last one. I mean, a lot of the functionality I like. I mean, I dig the graphics for the game in the disc game and tray thing. I mean, I like a lot of the primetime stuff they showed off, but it just isn't like popping out as something unique. I mean, you know.
It looks like an Apple ripoff to me, but that's one of the reasons I'm looking forward to it, because it looks like a much simpler interface to use, at least from my perspective.
I guess. It does look kind of like a CoverFlow meets Front Row Apple thing, but yeah, I mean, it just...
The 360 looked like it was made by Apple, so why shouldn't the software?
But I mean, like, yeah, one thing I do like is the new guide menu. Basically, if you press the Xbox 360 guide button on your controller, used to bring up a blade with...
Yeah, just a little bit of like information and music controller.
Music options, some online options, and some personal settings. But now they've completely overhauled that to essentially... it's basically going to bring up a mini version of the previous dashboard.
Which I think is sweet.
I think that's awesome. I mean, you can access pretty much anything from anywhere, and I mean, that's... I don't see how that could possibly be a bad thing. So
it has both areas covered. You just have to press an extra button to get to the old dashboard.
Yeah, which, I mean, I don't know. But that and, yeah, they also, after the conference, they announced a few more features. For one, you're going to be able to install games on your hard drive, which, yep. It's cool. I mean, it's definitely going to, I think, keep down, well, for one, primarily the noise. I mean,
yeah, that's a huge thing, because, like, this is when I had Rainbow Six Vegas 1, I actually preferred playing the demo of... Because I usually have played one online level usually in the same mode, so I usually preferred playing the demo because I didn't have to hear the disc drive screaming all the time.
Yeah, I mean, especially when I first got my 360, I started it up and I thought that something was wrong with it because the disc tray was so loud. It was just rattling on my TV sandwich. I mean, that's definitely a feature. I'm not pissed that they're adding that feature.
I'm just pissed that you actually have to have the original disc in the system while you play it.
Well, I mean, I don't see how they really could have done it any other way. They're not going to let you access it.
I just wish we weren't in this age of paranoia anymore.
Well, it's not paranoia. I mean, it's almost guaranteed.
Yeah, it's guaranteed piracy, I know, but...
So...
Yeah. At least in the... Wait, never mind, no. My idea was bad.
Okay. Well, a few more announcements concerning the dashboard. Microsoft has partnered with Netflix so that if you're subscribed to Xbox Live Gold and any version, any Netflix subscription above their basic $5 a month subscription, then you're going to be able to stream any of Netflix's Watch It Now movies, which is, I think it's over like 10,000 movies.
Yeah,
which...
there's only one problem with this. Is this... feature is already available to all 360 users if they knew how to use it.
What do you mean?
If you had either a Media Center enabled XP machine or Windows Vista and the Netflix or the Netflix streaming service to the PC, you could then using Media Center stream those movies to your 360 already.
Could you?
Yeah, you didn't even need to have Xbox Live Gold for it.
Well, the thing with that, though, is that that's, you're still going to be able to do that, but that's...
Now for it's people just a more direct route.
Right. For people who have both, they're not going to want to go back to the old means of, you know, direct, like, downloading it through the computer and routing it through that. I mean,
yeah,
it's going to be something that you can access.
Vista? I'm sorry, but who wants to use that piece of crap?
Okay. Calm down.
Sorry.
It's not that bad.
It's not as bad as 2000.
Not as bad as me. Well, I had to use Windows Me for
Windows ME,
4 years.
That's what I was thinking of. 2000 was good.
Yeah, I had to use Windows Me for 3 or 4 years, and it was hellish.
That's
it was absolutely
That's one of the
hellish.
Reasons I have a Mac now. is that operating system.
Yeah, very much so. But one of the other really big dashboard related announcements is that 360's getting Miis, or avatars,
that look like Miis. Or is it home?
No, it's Miis. They look exactly like Miis.
Right,
you can customize them with.
Can I import my Wii from my Wii into my 360?
You could probably just about recreate it. I mean, to be fair, it is more in depth, and they've added some really cool functionality. But they're Miis.
Oh, wait until they release a software pack where you can dress your character as different video game characters. How many 8-year-olds are gonna look like Master Chief?
All of them.
Exactly.
Every 8-year-old. Using Xbox Live, they're all going to be Master Chief.
I'm sorry, I hate to pimp myself. Well, actually, no, I don't. I enjoy it doing so. But did you see my post on the forums about that? It's my fake news report. I'm just kind of proud of that one.
I think you just repeated it on the show. I think that
excluding
referring to you previously making that joke takes away the humor and spontaneity of you making it on the show.
Well, don't I ruin everything else I touch anyways?
Valid point. Anyway, one of the really cool features they've added with the avatar is the persistent party system. Basically, what this is going to do is, if you're on your dashboard, you can join a party with all of your friends, and your avatars will be displayed and whatever. But the big thing is that it's going to have persistent chat, and you're going to be able to watch video, slideshows. If everyone has gold and Netflix, you'll be able to stream Netflix movies and all watch it at the same time. They've actually hinted at a sort of Mystery Science Theater 3000 feature where you can have your avatar's silhouettes on the bottom. And, of course, there's going to be that persistent chat. And that could be fun, but not only that, but every game that you go to, your party will stay together the entire time. If you go to play Gears of War, your party will stay together. If you go from there straight to, say, Bomberman Live, your party will stay together.
Yeah,
it's going to be completely persistent.
The funny thing is, Nintendo could learn some things about the copy Microsoft's doing of their own software.
Well.
The online system for one. Even if they
Nintendo could learn a lot of stuff from PC gaming 10 years ago concerning
Nintendo
their online
could learn
stuff.
A lot of shit from the Dreamcast.
I mean, at this point, Nintendo could learn stuff from anyone who has ever done anything gaming online ever. Nintendo has a lot to learn. Let's just put it that way.
Like I said earlier about Brawl. Well, I wasn't actually in the game, but those who were. Their game was lagging like hell. When was the last time you had lag in the Xbox Live? For me, it was Halo 2, and that was years ago.
For me, it was actually last week.
Oh.
I mean, I don't think the lag is an issue. I mean, yeah, there's good. That is a problem, but I mean, they need to get a persistent system set down.
Yeah.
They need to get persistent voice chat, persistent names, not friend
voice
codes.
Voice chat's coming to the Animal Crossing now, and.
You're right, it's coming to Animal Crossing, but it's not persistent across all games.
Yeah, it's
not
the worst possible way, too. It's just it's a big microphone in front of your TV.
Right, and I just... Nintendo has so far to go with that. And, I mean, it's just... They're taking baby steps. I mean, they have demos now. They have demos, but...
I thought they were still crawling on their knees.
Huh?
I thought they were still crawling on their knees.
Anyway.
Sorry.
That's a good point. I mean, they're hardly even walking at this point. And I'm not going to put down games like Brawl and Mario Kart that have that in there. They have been making progress.
Mario Kart was at least a decent implementation of it.
Right, and that's what I'm saying. I just want that across all of their online.
How hard would it be to rip the code from Mario Kart Wii and install it into a Wii system update?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're getting off topic. But like Aaron just mentioned, they also announced Animal Crossing City Folk, which...
City Folk?
It's Animal Crossing.
On a different system. It looks... It's the exact same game, though. Except now it has voice chat.
Well, the thing is, like, I absolutely loved Animal Crossing. Not only on GameCube, I must have spent at least a good 8 or 9 months completely addicted to Animal Crossing, to the point where I would log on, if not every day, then every few days. I was very into that, and to a lesser extent, Wild World for the DS. I still really enjoyed it for a while, but that period of time was much shorter. It was only maybe a month or so, and I think that if I play City Folk, it's going to be even shorter than that, because, I mean, it looks like Animal Crossing, which isn't a bad thing if you've never played Animal Crossing, but for those of us who have played all of the Animal Crossings, it's not a good thing. They've added...
Wild World was my Animal Crossing forte of Animal Crossing, but... I had to sell that game because I was way too addicted to that thing. There's no way I'm buying the Wii version.
Yeah. My problem is that, I mean, even since the first Animal Crossing, people have been saying, oh, it would be great if they added a city. And, you know, the series was made to be online. But people are calling it the Animal Crossing MMO, and it is far from that. You still have your separate towns, and it works exactly like the other games did. In the GameCube, it would just be that you plugged your memory card in, your friend's memory card in, and he would visit your town or vice versa. They took another baby step with the DS, and they took it online, but it was still just a couple people coming to your town. And in this one, exactly that. But, they do have voice chat, but, I mean, And okay. Plus, with the city, it looked like instead of making an actual city to do stuff in, it was just, let's take all of the shops that we had in all the other Animal Crossings and put them in a small, like, one-screen radius city. And I just, that is not the leap in content and quality that I was looking for.
Yeah, if Nintendo can't implement online properly, what do you think the chances of them making a good MMO are?
Well, I mean, I don't think anyone is talking about Nintendo making an MMO. I don't think anyone in their right mind would talk about Nintendo making an MMO, because they can't even get person-to-person online to work right at this point. They can't get that down. I mean, I don't even... It blows my mind. You have to have separate friend codes, not only for the system, but every game that you own. And that seems like something that would have happened on a console in 1998.
That sounds like something that probably would have come along with Doom 1 in 1993.
Yeah, I just... Okay. But anyway, they also... They didn't actually announce this next one at their keynote, but... I think it was an interview with Miyamoto where he mentioned offhand, yeah, we're making Pikmin 3. You know,
It went like
did I mention that?
I'm sorry, what?
Oh, just what?
No, Miyamoto will announce when they're ready to announce the next Pikmin game. This is according to his translator. Then Miyamoto said something. Apparently that's right now. We're making Pikmin 3. Yay!
Yeah, it was just... did I mention? Yeah, we're making Pikmin 3. I thought I mentioned that earlier. I thought I had said something. No? Yeah, well, we're making it, so whatever. You know, I just don't see why they didn't mention that at their press conference. Not only that, but the Mario and Zelda teams are making Mario and Zelda games for the Wii. But they didn't mention that at all during the press conference.
Hell, a box art with them talking about the game would have been better than the press conference they had.
Now, I'm not saying that there weren't good announcements made. There were some great announcements made.
Wii Sports 2. I will be first in line for Wii Sports 2. I will buy that game. I'm not saying there's bad announcements. Just how they presented them was total and utter crap.
Right. And I mean, I don't even expect that. I know that it's way too early on to actually... I'm sure that these projects are way too early on to show at all. But it would be nice to mention offhand that, you know... Don't worry, we're making more than just Nintendogs 2. It's and even that announcement would have been great if they are working on it. I wouldn't mind seeing that. But just it would have been nice to say, oh, don't worry. Don't worry. We're still, you know, making the games that the people are who are paying attention to this do want to play.
I don't think it was the Mario team. I think it was the Metroid team.
No, it was the Mario team because the Metroid team isn't a Nintendo team. That was Retro Studios.
Yeah, but I thought, oh, whatever. I want a new Metroid anyways. Give me a Metroid, damn it.
Yeah, and again, like Aaron said, Wii Sports 2, Wii Sports Resort. That's not the subtitle. Wii Sports Resort is just the full title. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be packaged with the Wii Motion Enhancer. And
It's called the Wii Motion Plus, and right now it looks like a totally useless accessory, at least what they were using it for.
I don't think it looks useless. I think it looks great.
It looks like it'll be very handy for future games, but didn't look like it was necessary for Wii Sports 2.
Oh, sure it did. I mean, the thing is, like, with the Wii Remote right now, it isn't... When someone first explained the Wii Remote to you, you were thinking, oh, it's going to have, you know, one-to-one motion sensing, and, you know, it's going to know just how you're holding it exactly, and, you know, everyone, when they first use it, they're like, oh, that's not quite what it does. But, I mean, that's bringing this function out, and I could definitely see the effect of that being there, but the problem is that is going to splinter your market. That's going to splinter your user base, and you cannot... Third parties cannot design games around that.
Unless Nintendo is willing to sponsor them and throw it into the box.
But they won't. That's the thing. First of all, they want people to buy Wii Sports 2, and second of all, Nintendo isn't that worried about their third parties. They're not worried enough to, you know, say, oh, you know, we want to make your game the best on our system that we can. At this point, they look up from counting their money and say, oh, what? Oh, yeah, yeah, go ahead. Put it on.
We still print money. So does the DS.
Right, and so they don't have the initiative to pack it in with any third-party game.
Hell, they don't even need to release software. The system itself is making them crap loads of money.
Mm-hmm. But, I mean, yeah. So, that was Nintendo's press conference. I mean,
yeah, fuck you, we're making tons of money. See you next year.
Yeah. Oh, and speaking of which, Wii Music. Like, I actually, the other night when my friends came over, I had seen Microsoft and Sony's press conferences live, but I was in class for Nintendo, so I couldn't see it. And my friend, he's talking, he said, dude, you know, did you see Wii Music? It looks amazing. It's like this full music simulator. I was getting excited. I'm like, wow, that sounds awesome. And I went to see the video, and I'm like, wow, that looks terrible.
I'm looking forward to this game, and I probably will buy it, but not for the reasons that they're intending.
The thing is, I mean, it doesn't look... This looks like a game that, if it were not Nintendo, everyone would overlook completely. I mean,
kind of like Lips for the 360?
Well, I mean, like, the thing is with Wii Music, the music sounds like bad MIDI music. I mean, it all has this sort of very similar tones, and it just, I don't know. The drum stuff looked interesting, but you don't even have, like, I don't know. The rest of the instruments just don't make it a game that I'm I'm interested in at all.
Here's a tip for the audience. If you own an iPod Touch or an iPhone, skip Wii Music and go buy a Cow Moo Band. Go buy the application called Band. It simulates a bass guitar, rhythm guitar, drums, synthesizer, and a few other instruments. Just skip Wii Music, go for that thing. It's only $10.
Yeah, I've been hearing good things about that one, and I mean,
it's my favorite application I've downloaded so far.
Yeah, I just can't imagine that it... I don't know. In bottom line, I'm not excited for Wii Music.
I probably will get Wii Music, but it's for a different thing. It's like, the reason I got Band is for some different music mixing projects I'm doing, and the MIDI low-quality sound is something I would need from that game, but that it wouldn't really make it a good music game, but would make it good for the sampling I would need from it.
Maybe. I don't know. And one of the big third-party announcement, or not even announcement, just Rock Band. They're showing Rock Band, and it looks great. I mean, the track list that we talked about last week was confirmed. Actually, Activision confirmed that Guitar Hero World Tour is going to be fully compatible with all the Rock Band instruments, which, I mean, great news.
And if I'm looking at the Rock Band Guitar Hero World Tour, it looks like it actually might be a decent game worthwhile that I may end up getting as well along with Rock Band 2.
Yeah, I've been hearing that, but I couldn't get the video to work before we started recording. I'm going to have to go back and check that out.
Rock Band 2 is first on my list, though.
And along with that, they also confirmed the other rumor that we had last week, which was that you're going to be able to transfer not all, but most of your Rock Band 1 music.
No, this is what I like from a developer, is they actually paid to relicense all the songs they could into the game. They actually paid so they could put the songs back into the game for the consumers a second time for a very small charge. Now that is awesome.
Like you said, they're saying that you're going to have to pay a small fee, but they said that explicitly that it will not be more than $5, which, I mean, that's an absolute no-brainer to me. I mean, I don't see how you could not, you know, if you have Rock Band 1, how you could not want to pay that $5
The problem with the game, though, is it's apparently some exclusivity agreements have been signed with Activision for Guitar Hero is the reason that some of the games won't be coming over. Right.
Yeah. So, but yeah, and they're launching with 84 songs on the disc, plus another 20 available for free downloadable content the day it launches. They're going to, of course, allow you to download all of your previous tracks, like we just mentioned, and every bit of downloadable content ever is going to be available. I am so excited.
And
because
online world tour mode.
Right. I mean, they've announced a ton of new features. Online world tour mode. You're going to have a single persistent character that can play any of the instruments this time, so you're not stuck having to create a separate character if you want to do drums or guitar. And
extensive
they're going to have
extensive character creation.
Right. And I mean, there's going to be a new drum trainer mode. It's Rock Band, but better. So, one of the excitements that's got me really interested is Zipper, the guys behind the first several SOCOM games. They're putting out a new game called MAG, which stands for Massive Action Game. And
Action Game.
Which I hear that they're going to. That's just a placeholder title, and they're going to be changing it to something less.
But that
totally
they should
stupid.
Keep that name. That name is awesome.
maybe. But basically, what it is, it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a first person. Well, did they say it's first person?
I wasn't able to find that, but I got the feeling it's either first or third person shooter.
Well, I mean, those are the two options, so yeah.
And it's the SOCOM guys, so a first or third person shooter would make sense from them.
Well, I mean, again, those are the only two options.
Exactly.
I don't know. I got the impression that it's going to be third person, actually, but it could be either. All we saw was a pre-rendered video. But what it is, it's going to be an online-specific game that supports up to 256 players at a time.
256 players in 8-person squads. Total mayhem.
Right, and you're going to be in squads with the commander role, and you're going to be working there are going to be these two opposing fronts, and these separate squads are going to have their own individual goals that are going to help the overall side in general. They said you're going to see a lot of really big, massive battles and big united fronts, and the concept sounds awesome. Again, we haven't seen anything, so I can't say that for sure, but it sounds like something that is going to, if I ever get a PS3, that's going to be one of the reasons.
I'm a little skeptical at this point, because I'm not sure how easy it'll be to get 256 people into a single map at a time.
Oh, I don't think it'll be that. Like, are you saying on a technical level or just a matter of getting...
No, on the player level.
Oh, I don't think so at all. I mean, like, if this game sells at least halfway decent, then I don't think there's going to be that much of a problem having, you know, lots and lots of people online.
The standard matchmaking thing for most first- or third-person shooters won't be very usable here, so they're going to have to probably make a custom system for that to make it so the game works better.
Maybe. I mean, again, we don't really know anything at this point, so
this is all just conjecture. I'm skeptical, but I'm hopeful as well.
Right. So, and the last big announcement that we've got is, BioWare confirmed that the MMO that they have been working on is Knights of the Old Republic related. We are going to be getting a BioWare Star Wars MMO, which, I mean, I think we could just stop the story right there. That's awesome.
Star Wars, LucasArts, awesome. Done.
What Star Wars?
Star Wars? What? Stop misinterpreting me. Listen to what I say.
Misinterpreting?
Understood me.
All right, well, that does it for our gaming segment. We're going to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with some more content. All right, we'll be right back. All right, welcome back. We've got short film segment. All we've got is theatrical releases this week. I didn't even bother to look up what movies were coming out because
there's only one that really matters.
Right. Dark Knight, motherfuckers. Dark Knight is coming out. I'm gonna go see it actually in just 3 hours. We're recording this on Thursday night. It's 9 o'clock my time. In 3 hours, I'm going to the theater and I'm gonna see it. And I'm ecstatic.
I will be going to see it in 10 hours. No.
Yeah.
No. Sorry, 20 hours.
Well, if your math is good as your spelling, I'll just take your word on that one.
My math is actually much better than my spelling.
Well, let's hope.
Hey, I got an 80% in language.
Okay. Just that obviously...
That essay saved my language mark.
That's fine. Just so long as it's not the written language. Anyway, that does it for our film segment, basically. It's just Dark Knight. That is this week in film.
And Mama Mia.
The Dark Knight. But yeah, television. We've actually got a TV segment this week. It's summer, so we're probably not going to have too many of these until the shows start up again this fall. But one show that I've been watching is on ABC. It's The Mole. And for those of you who haven't seen it, I know a lot of people who have never seen the show wrote this off as like just another Survivor, but... I cannot stress enough how smart this show is. It's kind of like Survivor. It's a reality game show type of thing. Pits the players against each other. There are alliances. But I guess you could say, twist for this one is there are, I believe, 11 contestants. But, well, technically there are 12. But one of those people is actually working for the show. They're the mole.
Do we know who the mole is as the viewers?
No, that's what's brilliant about it. We don't know anything about the mole. It follows very closely to the Survivor format. Every week there are two challenges that they have to complete with some stuff in between. But you know, there are immunities and. That are up for grabs every week, but what makes the show so brilliant is that the mole's job is to sabotage the other players without being found out. Basically, every week the players are eliminated by taking a quiz. It's 10 questions, and it basically has different questions. Like in the first competition today, what color shirt was the mole wearing, or something to that effect. And it really tests their skills of observation and the player, the viewer's skills of observation, because if a player messes up on a challenge and they fail or they don't get that money put in the collective pot, then the viewer and the contestants playing the game, they wonder immediately if they were... simply messing up or if they were the mole trying to sabotage. So every single decision that these contestants make is immediately called into question, and it is set up in such a way that the editing and the way it happens is that it's just so brilliantly put together. And easily the best episode is always the season finale, because not only is the mole revealed, but they, throughout the series, they hide very, very subtle cues and hints that they end up revealing in the final episode. And, I mean, these are stuff that you would have to be... One year when I was watching this, I actually had a notepad that I kept notes while I was watching. You'd have to look into everything looking for a clue.
This isn't the first season. This show has been going on for a while then.
No, yeah, it's been going on for a few years. They actually had 2 seasons of The Celebrity Mole, which, as exploitative and as much as it sounds like that may sound on like it belongs on VH1, they were still great. I mean, And to tell you, one of the...
Was Gene Simmons in it? I don't care unless Gene Simmons is in it, damn it.
No, worse. Kathy Griffin was in one of the seasons, but it still managed to be brilliant.
Roman also with Kathy Griffin evolved. Kathy Griffin and Steve Wozniak. That'd be hilarious.
Wozniak. You mean Wozniak?
Yeah, Wozniak. The two are dating.
Okay. Well, yeah, I mean, this show, I cannot stress how... I think I actually read that a few years ago, Mensa, you know, the Society for Geniuses around the world, they actually named this one of the smartest shows on TV. And, I mean, it's... Again, it's... I cannot stress... This is something that I really recommend to everyone.
Well, I've never heard of this thing, so...
Yeah, it's on ABC Monday nights, and I'd suggest... I think that you can watch all the back episodes on ABC.com. And I definitely suggest you do that because it helps to get caught up.
Note to listeners that are not American-based, you cannot do what Mitch just said.
Oh, right.
It's region-locked, and I do not currently get ABC, so I can't see it anyway, so...
Right. Well, you can probably find episode recaps online. Just really, I gotta recommend that you get in on this.
It'll probably have to be YouTube.
I also... You know, I've been kind of trying to watch Last Comic Standing, which is a show that I've loved in previous years, but I just can't watch it anymore.
Season killed it for me.
I thought that the first few seasons were great because they chose comedians who were unique and had their own voice.
But it's just after the first season, it wasn't original anymore, and that's pretty much when a show dies, when a reality TV show dies for me, is after the first season.
See, the thing I always loved about Last Comic Standing, especially over similar shows like American Idol, is that with American Idol, you get people that, yes, they are talented, but they are singing and singing other people's songs at that. If I want to hear those songs, then I can listen to the original artist sing it. Unless, of course, I do enjoy it occasionally. I had someone show me a video of the last season's winner, David Cook. He actually did a retooled version of Michael Jackson's Billie Jean, which he changed the song, and I hate American Idol, but I did respect him for that, because he did something original and brought something unique to it. And something that I liked in the past about Last Comic Standing is
that... Mitch, you have not seen Hell. You think American Idol's bad? Wait till you see Canadian Idol.
I don't doubt it, but what I'm saying... just one of the reasons that I loved Last Comic Standing is so much is that these people are not just covering other people's jokes. These people are, this is their voice, this is their passion, this is what they do, and you get something unique from every contestant. But the problem, and in the past, they really encouraged unique comedians. They had, I think Bill Dwyer got pretty far in one season. Comedians like, I'm blanking on all of the names, but I mean, just really unique, funny, different comedians. But this season, it's just terrible, the kinds of people they're putting through. I watched one episode of the semifinals, and just about every person there was using contrived 20-year-old race routines that had been going on for years. They put through an Indian guy whose only jokes were about Indian call centers, and I'm not joking. Since he first auditioned, his only jokes have been about Indian call centers, and that's not unique. I'd appreciate it if he used Indian culture in some way that represented, that didn't just pigeonhole the whole culture into this one thing. I'd enjoy some actual, you know, humor from an Indian perspective, not just, you know, aren't call centers funny? It's just terrible. And there was an Asian girl that they put through whose only jokes were pretty much replacing all of her L's with R's. And those were her jokes.
You're telling me I can make crap loads of money by taking a bunch of YouTube clips and just changing the... just copying and pasting the same clips over and over and over again, but changing the accents every time? You say I could make millions by doing that and putting it on TV?
Well, I mean, I'm just saying, if you audition for Last Comic Standing with that material, it's very possible. And I'm not saying that every contestant on there is terrible. There's this one, it's an international version. There's this British comedian, and his I don't want to call it a shtick, but his thing is that he has a upright bass that he involves in his routine. But it actually comes off much better and funnier than it sounds. He's actually one of the few gems in this load of crap that is the season of Last Comic Standing. And as much as I enjoy him and a couple of the other comedians, I just, in the semifinal round, I saw these hacks, these unfunny hacks get through while these unique, interesting, different comics were just left by the wayside and they didn't get to move on. And that's really where I decided that I wasn't going to watch it anymore.
Another one bites the dust. Ha! Another one bites the dust. I can't right. say.
Apparently. But, speaking of unique and different, I just found this online series, and
here it comes.
Joss Whedon. I think that's all you need to know, but I will elaborate. It's a 40-minute, three-part online musical that Joss Whedon put together, and I swear everything that he touches turns to. It's just wonderful and brilliant and sweet and funny. It's called Dr. Horrible's Sing-Along Blog. You can find it at drhorrible.com.
Let's put it this way. If you don't find this funny, you do not have a soul.
I mean, it's not even that. It's just that the humor is so unique in that way that all of Joss Whedon's humor is. It's sweet. The music in it's fantastic. I love it. But what it is it stars Neil Patrick Harris as this struggling upcoming supervillain named Dr. Horrible. He's just this up and coming superhero. He's low time. He's small time. His arch nemesis is Captain Hammer, played by who else but Nathan Fillion. And I don't see why Nathan Fillion doesn't get more work and more credit for what he does, because everything that he's in.
This show's explicit, right?
Yes.
Would I be able to quote one of Captain Hammer's from near the end of the second episode?
I don't care. Go ahead.
Hammer is my penis, just to let you know.
Well,
that just stuck with me for some reason. I know it's really sick.
No, that was hilarious. But I mean, it doesn't really work out of context of the show.
No, but like, if you, that's just like, watch the show and then it will become funny, especially when I'm not saying it.
Well, I mean, that goes without saying for a lot of things.
Oh.
I kid.
I am loved.
But nonetheless, it's Dr. Horrible, played by Neil Patrick Harris, Nathan Fillion, and Dr. Horrible has this infatuation with Penny, played by Felicia Day, this girl that essentially does laundry at the same laundromat. Again, it's just sweet, and it's so incredibly funny in ways that it catches you off guard. The music, I love the music in this. I just keep going back to it just to listen to it.
I will buy the soundtrack whenever it does come out.
No, absolutely. And I mean, the show's just so unique, and it's something, until the 20th, it's going to be free online at drhorrible.com. The last episode is coming out the 19th. I don't know if this episode's going to be out by then, but if it is, go watch it as soon as you can. And if not, the entire season's available for purchase for $3.99 on iTunes, and I think it's worth at least 10 times that. I would pay $25 to $30 for DVD of this, which I believe it's actually coming out soon, and that's why it's only free for a limited time. But I mean, it's just so funny and unique and great. I just can't recommend it enough.
I was actually looking through the interwebs and actually found a comic book based off it that's actually online for free, sponsored by Dark Horse and MySpace.
That's right, yeah. Yeah, Dark Horse. I don't have the URL. You can probably just do a Google search for it. But yeah, Dark Horse has one issue of a Captain Hammer comic up. So yeah, check that out.
I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but apparently it's decent.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet either, but, you know, I don't know. Could be crap, could be great, but either way, just find some way to support. Yeah, just find some way to support this. I mean, if you buy it on iTunes, if you... just something. I mean, this is the kind of thing that needs... that there needs to be more of. And, you know, you just need to... you need to support these things. But speaking of comics, you have you been reading anything lately at all?
Comic-wise, no, but I went back and reread my issue, my hardbound issue of Marvel Zombies, and my collection of Helsing mangas.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Which Marvel Zombies is it?
The first one.
I haven't read that. The only one I've read is Marvel Zombies versus Army of Darkness, which I really enjoyed. But this week since the last episode, I've actually read more of The Walking Dead, and it's still as brilliant as it ever was. I mean, it just keeps getting better, and I'm not going to talk about it too that long. I think I only read two or three issues, but it's just great. I mean, the trades are only $10, and for that, that's such a no-brainer to me. The quality of book you're getting here, it's just fantastic. But as far as other stuff, non-comic stuff, you said you got one of the Freezepop CDs.
Yeah, it's not one of their newer albums. I'm not even sure. I'm just gonna check in iTunes right now when it came out. The album I got was Future, Future, Future Perfect, which is kind of sad what I'm about to say, but one of the reasons I got this is I purchased the single A Brain Power off it already, and I had only $10 left in iTunes credit, so I decided to purchase the rest of the album, and ended up enjoying most of the other songs even more so than Brain Power. It's just, if I'm not lazy, you'll hear some of the music playing in the background right now during editing, but some of the songs that I really enjoyed was Pop Music Is Not a Crime, Ninja of Love, Swimming Pool, After Party, Brain Power, like I said before, and I just thought it was a very good CD. It came out in it is the newest album, came out in 2007. What do you know? Interesting. But look, yeah. You can see how well informed we are here.
Yeah, the picture of quality and research here at the Land Show.
If you can see us, then you've taken too much or not enough Sailor Jerry, or any other kind of alcohol substance.
Something to that effect. So yeah, it's good to hear. I actually might have to check that out. The thing is, like, with a lot of freeze pops that I've heard, I enjoyed it, but there's something about it that I just can't really get into.
For the most part, I haven't actually been buying full CDs of theirs. I've just been buying singles off of iTunes and then ripping the DRM off. I'm sorry. But my favorite song of theirs is still Super Sprode.
Yeah.
But the High Five remix, my remix, the CD of theirs that has Super Sprode on it, I hated the rest of it and didn't buy it. I'm sorry, but I only like the one single off the album, and that's what I bought.
Right on.
I highly recommend that song.
Yeah. Hey, Aaron, guess what?
What?
We've got listeners!
We have listeners! Yay!
People are hearing what we have to say, and they're sending in feedback, which you can do by sending an email to thelandshow@gmail.com.
Like
send
these two people did.
Right.
It's amazing. It's a fantastic innovation. Okay, I'll go first then. This is from Russell. He sent us a question about stuff that we haven't talked about before, but I ended up knowing quite a bit about, so I'll help him out. Quote his letter. I'm planning on buying a new gaming PC at the end of July, and I was wondering what sort of specs I should be looking at. I want to be spending about $1,200 on it. I want it to last around 2 to 3 years so I can play Wrath of the Lich King, StarCraft 2 and Diablo 3, Guild Wars 2, and Halo Wars. I guarantee you can play all of those except Halo Wars because I have no idea if that's ever going to come out to PC, which it probably will eventually, blah 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 blah. But for the price range, since that's relatively low, I would highly recommend looking into Dell because their gaming PCs are much cheaper. Now, there's always been some problems with Dells, but there's another alternative which is close in price, which is Acer, which I highly, highly, highly recommend staying away from because I've seen too many Acers die before their time just because of the poor build quality. So if you're going for a desktop, I'd recommend either an Alienware, which is out of your price range, or Voodoo, again, out of your price range. The next best I would recommend is a XPS from Dell. For laptop range, I would recommend the XPSs as well. Either they're 13-inch or they're 15-inch, because those will both fall under your price range, and then those will both come out at $1,000 Canadian, and you can just still have a few hundred dollars for upgrades. And just checking the letter. No problem, Russell. Enjoy that. Now you had a letter.
Oh, I have a letter. Now this one's actually directly at me. It's from Full Metal, and he says, I just listened to your rant about Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. I honestly don't understand why everywhere...
Okay, like I said before, the end of the episode got lost, so I thought I would just finish things up here and round it out. Turns out I didn't answer Russell's email the way he wanted. He is asking for specs, not machines. First of all, I'd recommend Newegg.com not even if you're not going to purchase the equipment there. Newegg.com is the best resource for scouting out equipment and checking out reviews from customers that have actually bought the equipment and have tried it out. I would also recommend, for specs-wise, try to get an Intel or an NVIDIA motherboard, or a motherboard with an Intel or NVIDIA chipset, not a third-party chipset. You should be able to get a decent motherboard for around $100, if not less. With that, I would recommend either getting one or two NVIDIA 8600s. For the games Russell listed off, those would be perfect cards for your needs. Along with that, I would recommend the Intel Core 2 Duo at 2.4 GHz or higher. But looking at recent recommendations for certain games, because a lot of games are now going more processor heavy than they are graphics heavy, I would recommend something closer to 2.8. like I'm running, or maybe even a 3.0, which isn't too expensive. It just makes you get a Core 2 Duo and not a Core 2 Quad, because that difference is about $1,000. Core 2 Quad is much faster, but it's not really relevant for gaming purposes at this time. I would also recommend, if you're going to install Vista, get as much RAM as possible. I'd recommend 4 gigabytes of RAM. I'd recommend don't go with DDR3 at the time. There's no real point to it, as there's not much speed improvement. Go with DDR2, much cheaper, and you can get equivalent speeds with the current technology, because DDR3 is being developed at its highest capacity right now. Get a good power supply. If you're gonna get two graphics cards or even three and run in double or triple or quadruple SLI, make sure you get a nice hefty power supply and a case with a lot of air for it. And if you are building a rig, make sure you do proper cable management, because that is one thing I've seen kill. It's you'd be surprised how many rigs I've seen die because of that. So lots of fans, because if Russell's the kind of person I think he is, he won't be wanting to do the water cooling. So lots of fans, good air circulation, organize the cabling. And here's one of my most crucial tips to anyone building a PC or owning a tower, desktop, or any computer for that fact. Install a dust collector or a dust cover over your fan ports. That will save years on your PC. Trust me. Just simplest way is take this old pair of pantyhose that are still intact and everything, and just cut a small snippet the size that you need, stretched out, crazy glue the corners, maybe a bit along the edges as well, just in case, and then put a seal over top of it. That will do not block the airflow of the actual fan vent, but that will, that it makes it much easier to clean out, and it will save years on your computer, what, no matter what kind it is. I answered Russell's question better, so... Yeah, email us at thelandshow@gmail.com or visit us at landshow.podomatic.com. Review us on iTunes or even just subscribe to us. We just love the fact that more and more of you are subscribing each week and just want people to listen to us. Thanks. Aaron, out.